Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. I surrender. I surrender. I surrender to the King. That's a good thing to be singing, isn't it? Oh, yes. That's just wonderful. Well, it's certainly good to see everyone. I know we have a full house, and we had a good crowd last service as well. And I just want to say thank you so much for being here. We are in the Table series. This is a four-week series. And, you know, we started a few weeks back, and we spent some time talking about husbands. And then last week we talked about wives. And today we're going to talk about some children and what all that's about. So it's really good. So just right now, go ahead and take your time. Say hi to the people at your table and turn your chairs around where you can get real comfortable to look at me. Just go ahead and do that right now. That's right. Okay, join somebody. Come right in. Hey, Michael, and you guys, would you sit with these folks right here? They're friends of mine. I just got up and left them. There you go. That's great. Lee and Lou, there you go. Thank you, brother. That's great. Oh, I love to see that. I love to see all this community happening. And just come on, get you a seat at the table. I know that folks are still coming in. It's a big crowd, but that's a wonderful thing. That's right. Oh, that's great. Well, you know, last week I had a couple of people respond to the opportunity to send me pictures. And so look up here. This might be one of your tables. This week I had people send me pictures of tables last week, and here we are. We got all kinds of tables going on here, and this is people do life around these tables. These are tables of yours. You know, I am kind of wanting to know. You know, there's not a single person in a picture. You know, but anyway, I'm not sure about that. And then I told you, I've been telling you about this table right here. This is the table that I grew up at. This table has been sitting in that kitchen at 2601 Garrity in North Austin for 52 years. It's never been out of that kitchen except one time, and you heard that story last week. Do you remember that? Grape juice, you know, disaster. We had to fix it. You know, when I said at our family reunion this year to my brothers and sisters, I'm number 5 out of 7, I said, hey, I'm going to be preaching a series, and you know, I think I'm going to take the table, and instantly I had some feedback. No, you're not. You know, what do you, what? No. And there was a little feedback, and then my mother said, that will be fine, Danny, and the discussion was over. That was it. And so I'm extremely happy and privileged to introduce you to my mother today, Mary Allen, right here. She has come today with her friends Sandra and Michael, and we're so happy to have you with us. Thank you so much. So this lady has had some life. Okay, anytime that you raise Jack Allen and Danny Allen, it's enough. You add 5 more to that, and it's a miracle you survive. Okay? But this table right here, everybody in that picture, and now their spouses and their children, buddy, they have done life at this table. I'm talking real life. And we're talking about that. Take a look at this right here. That's my mom and my 4 sisters and my 2 brothers. That was at Emily's wedding there at the Bob Bullitt Museum, the reception. And this is a precious lady and a precious family, and I am a blessed man that I got to grow up. I'm an extremely blessed man that I got to grow up in this family. So the table, we're talking about the table. And so I asked you last week a very important question. I wonder by some chance if you've thought about that question at all. If not, then let me ask you again this week. It's this question right here. Who gets a seat at your table? This is a critical question. Who gets a seat at your table? Well, symbolically, this morning, I'm going to pull this chair out right here, and I'm going to ask you to have a seat at this table with me. So in your heart and in your mind right now, I just want you to come sit down with me, because you see, I seem to think better at this table. I think it's because I've been straightened out at this table multiple times. I've experienced a lot of things at this table. But who gets a seat at your table? I want to just do a very quick summary of what I did last week, because this is so important. You see, the most important thing that could happen is that God gets a seat at your table. You see, Christ Jesus, not thinking more of himself, he left his throne in heaven. He came to earth in obedience to the Father. Yes, even obedience unto the cross, so that you and I might have an opportunity to accept his Son as Savior and get a seat at the table of God at the wedding feast. I just have got to tell you, the most important seat at the table is God. Now, listen, I'm not talking about church. I'm talking about God. You know, there is a difference. Why would he be the most important one? Because he's the one who descended into greatness. He left the throne. He descended down here in obedience to the Heavenly Father. He descended into greatness on our behalf. And he is our example of what it is. And I gave this chart right here. It's just kind of descending down there to the foot of the cross. And that's the life that he demonstrated to us and that we should live, especially men, as we surrender our life to Christ and we're an example to the rest of our family. And we lived on this verse right here. Say this with me, ready? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, if you know Jesus, the truth is, that's the only verse that you need in your relationship with your wife. You flat out give your life away. That is his command to us. That is his example. That's what he did when he left heaven. And if you do that, then it's much easier for wives to do this first. Read this with me. Wives, submit yourself to your own husband as you do to the Lord. Ephesians 5:22. And that sets everything up. And we talked about that last week. I shared with you some of that. And then I asked my wife to come on stage. Did you enjoy that? Yeah. By the way, ladies, I got my card. I hope you fulfilled your assignment this week. I hope you wrote your husband a letter of respect. I guarantee you, that's going in the pouch that's in my gun safe. That's where I keep the things I want. I've got a pouch. It's got letters from my kids and my wife, and this is going right in that pouch right there. You see, because when I am doing what I'm supposed to do, it helps my wife do what she's supposed to do. And if that's the case, guess what? This is what we're talking about today. Read this with me. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, Ephesians 6:1. It sets everybody up to have a better opportunity to live life in obedience to the Word of God and experience the fullness that God has for us. It's a wonderful thing. And if this is happening, guess what happens? The family ends up at the foot of the cross. Oh, what a great place for a family to end up. So if you were sitting here today and we were having a discussion, you said, well, Danny, you know, I wonder what God's plan is for my family. I wonder what it would be. I would say this to you. Listen, your husband needs to bow a knee to Jesus. You need to bow a knee to Jesus. Your children need to bow a knee to Jesus. That's God's plan. And if you will do that, this is what will happen. There will be a oneness that's unbelievable, because oneness is at its greatest when it is in Christ Jesus. Let me say that again. A family being close and being one is at its greatest when it is in Christ Jesus. Okay, I resisted saying this last week, but I couldn't resist anymore, so I'm going to say it this week. Your family will be at its greatest when it is one in Christ, and that is the value that you are centered around. It will not be as great if you center your life around the ballpark. You see, because the ballpark hasn't had a thread of grace for you since the day you were born or even before you were born. Now, I played every sport. My mom will tell you, oh my gosh, we played every sport in the world. We were on teams. We did it all. But at this table, it wasn't about the ballpark or the baseball or the soccer. Or in my house, it was golf. You know, that's even a subject we really don't talk about now. You know, it wasn't about that. It was about the value of God in our family. So if you want a family that is full of oneness, center it around Jesus. You with me? I'm telling you, that is so important. So this right here, man, we spent a lot of time on that last week. And I'll promise you this is true. And it all starts with Christ Jesus being obedient to his heavenly Father, leaving his throne in glory, coming to earth so you and I could have that experience. And then a man bending a knee to Jesus. And then a wife bending a knee to Jesus. And then children bending a knee to Jesus. Now get me, listen to me close. If I bend a knee to Jesus and my wife bends a knee to Jesus, does that guarantee my children are? No. They have a free will just like I have a free will. And my wife has a free will. It is everybody's choice, but I will tell you right now, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. The Word of God says so. So the question is, when is it going to take place? Oh, we want it to take place now. The table. Well, I want to talk a little bit this morning about grace-based parenting. You see, the reason that's so important is because the relationship of which we have with God was based on grace. Aren't we glad? I would not want to have lived on the other side of the cross when it was based on the law. So I'm gonna visit with you a little bit about what grace-based parenting looks like. Okay? There's a card on your table. Maybe you might want to grab it. Everybody's got a card, and there's pens and everything. Go ahead and grab that. You might write something down there by some chance that you might want to take that home with you and think about that. I had a lady at the last service tell my wife, I will never look at my children the same. Never again will I look at my children the same. But I will do everything possible to look at them as God does. So let's talk about what is grace-based parenting. How does that look? See, God left behind a job description for parents. And by the way, a job description for grandparents. Grandparents, let me have your attention here. This actually, I think, is even more for you than the parents. Because you need to be absolutely an example of what it is to parent your grandchildren in grace, okay? He left behind a job description to raise great kids. Now, we all want to have great kids. What does great kids mean? Well, let me give you a definition, okay? Great kids mean God wants us to raise kids who love him. They love him and they live for him and they make an impact in this world that they live in. God wants us to raise those kind of children. Children who love God, who live for God, who make an impact in their world. Let me tell you a quick story here. I grew up at McCallum High School and had a lot of friends and went to Anderson High School and we played golf together and ran around and everything. One of those guys' name was Lee Tunnell. Lee Tunnell was a friend of mine, and he was also a super stud athlete, and he was, as a junior, the starting quarterback on the Anderson Trojans football team, and he was just a great guy. Man, he was committed to Jesus. He was committed to Jesus before I was. He actually helped that process. And he was strong in his faith and his commitment. He was this type of child. And I'll never forget, Anderson had a really good team that year, and they got to the playoffs. And the coach made an announcement after practice on Monday. He said, "We're heading into the playoffs, so this is the way it's going to be, boys. For now, we're practicing every Wednesday night, too." They didn't use to practice. He said, "We're practicing every Wednesday night. And so be sure and put that on your schedule." Lee raised his hand back there, and coach said, "Yes, Lee." He said, "Coach, man, I really love you, and man, this team means the world to me, but I'll have to resign right now, coach. I'm sorry." And he started handing his helmet to the coach. Coach was like, What are you talking about, Lee?" And he said, "Well, coach, I'm committed to Jesus, and I go to church on Wednesday night, and I can't practice." The next Wednesday night, the entire football team was in the building at Hyde Park Baptist Church to hear what Scooter McCurdy had to say about Jesus. The coach said, "Look, I don't know what is going on down there, but if it means that much to you, we're going to go find out." Okay, now that's a child that knew who he was in Jesus and loved Jesus and made an impact that led many of his teammates to follow Christ that year. Okay? That's the kind of children we want to raise. You see, Jesus answered, he said, "I love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all the strength that you have, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." He said, this is the type of person that I want you to be, and this is the type of children I want you to raise. This is it. God has given us a perfect vehicle to make this happen, and this is really what I want to stress this morning. Guess what that vehicle is? Do you know what that vehicle is? It is His grace. His grace. His grace. It's not a personal improvement plan. It is His grace. You see, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administrating God's grace in its various forms. Oh, yes. It is His grace, His grace. Oh, my goodness. You see, all throughout God's Word, from the very beginning, when even this relationship that we have with God was His idea, it wasn't mankind's, God decided to reach as far back as He could. And He came over here, and He took His grace, and He started weaving this grace throughout all the history of mankind, throughout His Word. You can see this thread of grace throughout God's Word constantly. And this grace has risen and met needs constantly and moved mankind. And then it has brought us to this place where we get to live life at the foot of the cross in God's grace. It is God's grace that allows us to even really experience life. Oh, understanding the role of grace in a family and how that grace is God's ideal and His tool for us to have families that are full and alive in Him. Oh, God's grace. Grace. Grace, marvelous grace, grace that is greater than all my sin. Understanding the role of grace in a family frees parents up to raise kids who make an extraordinary difference with their lives. You see, when you surrender at the foot of the cross as a parent and you come to the understanding that God has given you that child, then you understand that the power of God through His grace can help you raise that child in freedom. Freedom. It frees parents because, you see, ultimately, He has given us the role and responsibility to raise those children. But when we show God's grace to our children, we help them understand how much God loves them. Grace is not so much what we do, but how we do it. I I don't think that the Heavenly Father made the decision to establish a relationship with mankind, to send his son, and I don't think he did it in such a manner of, well, I guess I'm going to have to send my son down there for those sorry humans. They just keep messing up constantly. This is going to be a hassle. Don't they know I'm tired? I mean, I just created the whole universe. They've made the same mistake now about 15 times this week. Don't they know I have something else to do in life? That is not the attitude in which he parents us, and that is not how we should parent our children. It is even more important of how we parent by grace than what we're doing. Our attitude. You see, we have to do it in love. We have to speak the truth. See, grace does have boundaries. It has guardrails. Absolutely. And inside of those guardrails, there's incredible freedom. This is how we need to do it. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. Ephesians 4:15. I love Ephesians, don't you? We just kind of been living in Ephesians. Let me encourage you to go read Ephesians this week. It has tremendous insight and instruction, especially in these roles. Fathers, wives, children, grace. It's full. It is full. You see, grace-based parenting is simply treating your children the way God treats you. It's simply treating your children the way God treats his. Aren't you glad God treats us with grace? Aren't you glad? You know, one of the things that I found about God is that he accepts me as who I am, and he understands my thoughts, my ways, and he understands how his grace can shape those. You see, as parents, we need to accept our children regardless of the merit. We need to accept our children. By the way, did you know your kids are different? I just thought I'd let you know a secret there. Your kids are different. We have Emily and Eric. They're both two fabulous kids. They both love Jesus very much and serve him on a regular basis. They are alike in many ways, but they are drastically different. Emily, man, she's hand to the plow, you know, first child, here we go. When she was 3 years old, Debbie Bailey from His Kids at Mother's Day Out over at New Hope called me and said, Danny, we get a chance, come over to my office. I said, sure. About 15 minutes later, I went over to her office. She said, just a second. She walked into the preschool room, pulled Emily out, walked her in the middle of the hall and said, tell your daughter she's not in charge. You know, I mean, dude, I had to say, listen, you listen to me, Emily? She was like, I said, the only thing you need to know is you're not. Okay, Daddy. She had been standing in the hall telling parents what to do. Now, you take Eric. Eric's a great leader. As a matter of fact, he led 70 of his peers in his Christian fraternity at Texas A&M, KYX, led them for a year. He's a great leader. Completely different style. Completely different style. You know, our kids are different. We're different. God doesn't treat me and how he wired me, his spirit, it works on me differently than it does Penny. I mean, you heard Penny say last week, I've never pondered a thing in my life. You know, but she ponders things in her heart. She thinks about it. You know, I look at it, assess the situation, go fix the problem. We're different. grace-based parentally, joyfully recognize the God-given potential in every one of their children. Oh, yes. Things can be different with our children, but every single one of them are a gift from God, and they can be a joyful thing. You see, look at this scripture. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He did not say this. Hey, Danny, why don't you go over there and clean your act up a little bit and then come on back to church, and when you do, I'll let you in. That is not what he said. He said yes when I bent a knee at the age of 15. You see, grace-based parenting is about mirroring God, okay? It's about mirroring God because he knows our deepest longings. I want to tell you something right now. This is a kind of a personal thing in my life right now. I turned 60 on the 31st of this month. And I'm heading towards what we call the sage years of my life, where I'm supposed to be a little wiser. And I'm asking God what that next adventure looks like. And he knows. He knows that there's a deep, deep, deep longing inside of me to get that right. He knows that. It's not a surprise to him. Because see, he sees our truest needs. And he sees that when my needs are different. He understands our greatest challenges. For we have a Savior, a Lord, Christ Jesus, who was tempted in every way that you and I have been tempted, but he was without sin. He knows about the challenges that I'm going through. He knows about it. He understands, but he approaches it through his grace. Oh, my goodness, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. And he envisions our highest potential. I just came back from this week. I went to Global Leadership Summit, the Willow Creek Association puts on. I went to a simulcast in Temple, Texas at First Baptist there with some friends of mine. And 138 nations, 400,000 people at one time learning about leadership all across the world. And we constantly heard about the potential that lies inside of us as Christ followers and leaders to advance the kingdom of God. We need to look at that the same way with our children. Have you ever said to yourself, after your child said something to you, and they shared this thought with you, and the first thing out of your mouth, the very first thing out of your mouth was, how? How are you going to do that? How are you going to pay for that? How do you think that's going to work? You know what? Here's what you need to do. When you're sitting at a table and they share with you something, you need to go like this. Wow. That could be awesome. You want to set a child free? We're privileged this morning to have T.J. Greenery, the founder of KOZ. He's sitting right here this morning. T.J. was a Sunday school teacher in a Baptist church when they came to him and said, we want you to take these young boys. He started teaching this class, and it wasn't very long after that when he said to himself, this really isn't working very well. So he sat down one day, and he started talking to God. And after quite a bit of conversation, all of a sudden, he came up with a new idea. And when he went and shared that, they didn't say no. They said, wow, that might work. As a result, this church has received the blessing of KOZ. Amen? And now hundreds across the nation are heading that direction. Don't say to your child, how are you going to do that? But say, wow, maybe that would work. Wow. Grace-based parenting. Well, in conclusion, let me just ask three things for you to recognize. I'm fixing to wrap this up right here. You see, three steps to becoming a grace-based parent. The first one starts with this, letting God's grace into your heart. Letting God's grace into your heart. You see, folks, if you were sitting at this table and you said, Danny, you know, I think I do want a family that has great oneness in it, with purpose. The first thing I'd look to, I'd look at you and go, have you ever come to the point personally where you experienced God's grace? That's what I want to know. Because it all starts with you personally experiencing God's grace. You see, God doesn't have any grandchildren. Just because my mom has known Jesus for years doesn't mean that I get in heaven. Now, it was a lot better chance because she led me that direction. But God doesn't have grandchildren. He has children. And at the age of 15 at Hillcrest Baptist Church on a Monday night, what are you doing at church? It was called revival. We used to have those things. And Boyce Evans was preaching. And he preached a great sermon called The Drift Fence. And I gave my life to Jesus. That's the night I became a child of God. And I was adopted into God's family. And I got a seat at this table. So the first thing that's got to happen, parents or even grandparents, if you have not accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, please understand, He has, from the beginning, woven grace through everything to the cross so that you and I might experience forgiveness. You can have that this morning. That's the first thing that has to happen. And then you got to, you know, let grace transform you. It's got to transform you. See, grace is alive and active, and it's transforming. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Grace. Oh, man, that is so important. It transforms you, and it will transform your children, your grandchildren. Letting God's grace define the way that you treat your children or your grandchildren. I am not a grandparent yet, but I am a parent. And I hope that my children would say to you, my father has demonstrated and led what it is to walk by grace. But I'll promise you, I haven't always done that because I'm a sinner. But by the grace of God, I receive forgiveness and I get to move forward. And it continues to define the way that I treat my children. And I will make this statement. I hope that one day, if God blesses me and I become a grandparent, that I am even better at displaying the grace of God to my grandchildren. Does that make sense? So this grace, you see, this grace of God, it's not just a one-time thing. It's really, the way it all happened is you come in and you experience this grace of God, and, you know, it just kind of starts to wrap around you, you know? And, man, pretty soon it's just all over you. It's just flowing out of you. That's the way grace ought to work in your life. You ought to just let it transform you. That's exactly what needs to happen. Because when that happens in our lives, it is so much easier for us to give that, men, to our wives, and wives to give that to our children. The family can experience oneness and grace like it's never known. You see, I want to say to you that children are a heritage from the Lord. Children are a heritage from the Lord. They're a blessing. I know some days it doesn't seem like that. My mom certainly had plenty of those days. She had to make many a phone call. But there's one thing that I always knew. I always knew it. There was never, ever, ever a doubt that I could come back home and at this table I would find the grace of God being administered to me. I'm going to ask the band to come on out. I want to worship a minute. I want to give you an opportunity because, you see, there's one thing I haven't spoken about this morning, and the reason I haven't spoken about it is because it could be a whole series itself. It's about what a parent should do when he prays, when she prays. You see, we need to pray for our children. Now, I've been sharing with you that I have this devotional book. As you can see, it's it's been around a while. But it's by Max Licato, and this book has just ministered to me for a year. I like the way Max thinks, and he has this little thought on parents, and it really, really got to me this week. Listen to this. Never underestimate the ponderings of a Christian parent. Never underestimate the power that comes when a parent pleads with God on behalf of his child. Who knows how many prayers are being answered right now because of a faithful pondering of a parent's heart 10 or 20 years ago at the throne of God. God listens. God cares. God hears a parent's pondering in prayer. Praying for our children is a noble task. If what we are doing in this fast-paced society is taking us away from prayer time for our children, we're doing too much. There's nothing more special, more precious than time that a parent spends struggling and pondering with God at the throne on behalf of his child. Pray for your children. Now, I'm actually going to give you a chance to pray right now. And I just want you to know, it may actually be a challenge for some of you because I'm going to give you about 4 minutes while we sing and worship this song. But I'm asking you to go to the throne of God right now in your heart and ponder the grace of God towards that. You may want to close your eyes and pray as Emily sings. Thank you.